Hello, welcome to the Pentecostal Pen, and today we have Sister Lori Wagner with us, and we're going to have an interview with her. And Sister Lori Wagner is the best-selling author of Preach Like a Lady and Gender and Ministry, and she also wrote 24 other books. She is from Michigan, an ordained minister with the United Pentecostal Church International, and she's also enrolled in an evangelist program. Sister Wagner, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me. It's great to be here.
So to start off with this interview, tell us about your conversion and your calling.
Sure. Well, I was raised with an awareness of God always, but I didn't really have a personal relationship with the Lord until my early 20s, and it was a really rough road getting there. There was a lot of brokenness and pain in my growing up years, and I won't go into all the details, but a few years ago, the Pentecostal Herald ran an article called Cocktail Waitress Turns Holiness Preacher, and that's my story. So I came from a denomination where women didn't have pulpit ministries, so preaching was something that was really foreign to me, even in my early years in the church, and I believe everybody has a very unique way that God calls them into ministry, and some people have like this Shazam, you know, here I am, send me moment that you just can't ignore. You can see the spot on the carpet, that's where you got your call. But for some people, it's not so obvious. It's kind of like a little kitten that's in your neighborhood. You know it's out there, and you hear it meowing, but you don't really want to open the door and start feeding it because you know once you do, it's moving in. So my experience was more like that kitten. It was something that just unfolded as I walked along in obedience to the Lord. I really just started doing what he told me to do. Mm-hmm. And it was actually my writing ministry. I was teaching. I was involved in church. I was a Sunday school teacher in the junior class, girls club leader. I was involved in praise and worship. And I've done some jail ministry and ladies ministry and things like that. But I never really did any teaching in the adult class or preaching or really felt a call to it, although I always enjoyed hearing other women doing it. But as far as my call, it started with the writing ministry. And from my first book, Gates and Fences, I started speaking to youth, and then I wrote The Girl in the Dress, and that opened up a lot of doors. Sister Gwen Oaks actually put my name on the list of speakers for the ladies ministries presidents, and so it just opened up a lot of doors. I began doing ladies conferences, and I just continued to write, and the ministry continued to progress from there.
A lot of our discussion today will be about probably your book Preach Like a Lady and Gender and Ministry. So tell us, why did you feel to write Preach Like a Lady and Gender and Ministry?
Well, you really got me on that question, because I really did not want to write those books. I was having my own devotion time with the Lord, and I felt very impressed with not just the book concept, but even the title, Preach Like a Lady. It all kind of came to me as a package deal, and I just did not want to do it. I felt like it would put a target on my back. I actually enlarged the target that was already there.
Yeah.
And so I just told God no, and I ignored it. But after 6 months, I could not shake it, and I knew it was his will. And so I wrote it. Now, Gender and Ministry is actually a repackaging of part two of Preach Like a Lady, because Preach Like a Lady is a handbook. The first part has a lot of how-tos, and it's an indexed handbook where you can look things up by topic. And the second part, it's also indexed, but it is a biblical and historical investigation of women in ministry. And I wanted to package those together so that women would have one comprehensive book. But there are a lot of women who would like to read the biblical and historical investigation that are not called to ministry, that don't need that handbook. And there are also men that would not need that handbook. So I repackaged the second half as Gender and Ministry as a standalone book.
Yes. Speaking about the biblical and historical investigation of, is that the Gender and Ministry book? So
yes.
Are there women in contemporary church history or church history who were mightily used of God in pulpit ministry or any type of ministry? And if you could give us some examples and their stories too.
Sure, sure. Phoebe Palmer She's considered one of the holiness movement founders, and she began missions. She actually began the first inner city mission in New York City and evangelized at camp meetings. And through her personal ministry in North America and Europe, 25,000 people are said to have turned their hearts to the Lord. This was in the early 1900s. And then also around that same time frame, a lady named Frances Willard, she was one of the founders actually of the Women's Christian Temperance Union, but she evangelized alongside Dwight L. Moody to audiences numbering in the thousands. And a lot of people don't know, but Catherine Booth, who co-founded the Salvation Army with her husband, William, she was a great leader. She was a dynamic speaker, and she had her own evangelistic itinerary. She actually was the breadwinner in the family. Her preaching earned more money than her husband's. There's a lot more we could go into, and I could go on and tell you about Nona Freeman and Bobby Wendell. And but one of the favorites is I just wrote a book, a biography about a lady minister named Willie Johnson. And she was an amazing woman of God. She experienced all kinds of rejection and abuse. But when she got the Holy Ghost, she went from being suicidal to being an incredible evangelist. And she spoke all over the U.S., even in our Bible schools. And she was mightily used in the gifts of the Spirit from the 1930s to the 1980s. Incredible, fabulous ministry.
That is awesome. I know in the Bible, too, there are probably a lot of women. Not probably, but for sure. There are a lot of women that are mightily used of God, not just in our church history. But I think it is a common knowledge that probably years ago, women are or were discouraged by the society to preach or minister. What do you think is the reason why women were discouraged years ago?
Well, I believe there are many reasons women didn't always participate. And I wouldn't say that they were all because they were discouraged by society. I think in many ways that that was actually a byproduct of some internal issues in the church or responses by the people in the church to what was happening in the society. Because if you look back to our roots in 1919, we find the earliest directory of apostolic Pentecostal ministers, and 29% of those ministers were women. Mm-hmm. And then in 1945, when the UPC was formed, 21% of the credentialed ministers were women. So what happened? Well, I believe that one reason that we saw this decline in the UPC in particular is that during the Women's Lib movement, the godly women didn't want to be associated with that upheaval and that downward spiraling values in our society. So they chose, in response to the women libbers, I believe, to over course correct and completely step out in a lot of cases of leadership roles. And they were still serving, but not as visibly, and they didn't get licensed. Brother Bernard made a great point on this issue. And he said that as the Pentecostal church organized and grew, it at first didn't have its own study resources. So what we did is we adopted the books of the fundamentalists because they emphasized the Bible as the word of God. But the men who wrote these resources weren't spirit-filled, and they actually opposed women in ministry. So their teachings filtered in to the Pentecostal church that was founded not just on a fundamentalist interpretation of the word, but we believe that the Bible is the literal word of God, but we are also founded on the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. And the word of God tells us that what the Spirit of God shows us, that in the spirit realm, in the kingdom of God, there's neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek, and bond nor free. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm still not a female, because I am. And in the church, in my marriage, in my home, I'm still a woman, and you're Filipino, right?
I am, yeah.
Yep, you're still Filipino.
Yeah, that doesn't
change. Well, wherever you are, but in the church, that doesn't matter. And in the church, our social status, our race, our gender, it brings no bearing onto the gifts and the calling of God.
Yes, that's a really wonderful insight right there. I just want to ask you this question too, and probably this is an important verse that many people are misunderstanding this verse, but there's a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 where Paul said that, "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the Lord." What do you think Paul meant in this verse?
Well, that's a really rough question to answer quick. And that's answering those questions is one of the reasons I wrote these resources. I think that when we look at that verse, we have to first realize that the concept in that verse has to line up and be in agreement with everything else the same man wrote in the same letter to the same people. And the Apostle Paul definitely affirmed women in ministry. He called women his co-laborers. He called them,
That's
you
right.
know, people that he partnered with in ministry. And so any understanding that we have of his writings, we have to keep them in context and realize that he was addressing the whole church that was coming together and exercising spiritual gifts, and he did restrain people. I think that the issue that he was dealing with there was more about unlearned women in pagan society. And so I really, it would be very challenging to really take that issue on in a very short format like this, but I don't believe it talks about silencing even men being silent in other places in the same chapter. So being silent is something that should be done to take a position of learning. And it's a very complicated verse, but I definitely think that we can answer that. And we do need to remember that we cannot take one verse out of scripture and nail it to a pillar and assign it to Apostle Paul and
That's
say,
right.
this is what the Word of God says for every church, when no other apostle, Peter didn't talk about it, James didn't talk about it, Jesus didn't fully address this issue. He actually brought women in to be disciples and allowed them to travel with him, which was totally against the culture of the day and the society. And so we can't just nail this to the wall and say, this is it for every place when that same minister affirmed women in ministry in other places.
That's right. One important principle of understanding the scripture, I guess, is that two or three witnesses, the truth should be established. So we,
Right.
just like what you said, we cannot take that one verse and build a doctrine on it.
Right.
The next question here is, unfortunately, we know that there are still some churches, probably not in our movement or region, but there are still people who discourage women to preach or to minister. So the question is, how should a female minister respond when confronted by Christians or even ministers who insist that women should not preach?
Well, it's tough. It's really not a comfortable spot to be in. But I'll say this. The first thing is that you don't have to defend your calling. It's not really fair that a woman should have to defend her calling based on gender. A man doesn't have to deal with that. And ministry's challenging enough. But if God called you, he will defend you by affirming your ministry with his anointing. His anointing is going to affirm your ministry. And so you do not have to defend yourself. Dr. David Norris, I have had the pleasure of taking classes with him at UGST, and he said that he's met two sorts of people who don't believe in women ministers. And he said there are those who have biblical questions, and I believe those can be answered. And he said there are those who simply have not met a woman effective in ministry. And so I think what we need to do is to expose people to women effective in ministry. Once you've experienced that and you see people doing it well and doing it right, and you see them moving and God affirming, that is a way to combat the challenges. But
That's right.
on the flip side of that, we have to make sure that we as women are not damaging the opportunities and the reputation for other women ministries, women in ministry, by the way that we present ourselves and deliver our word, because we still are women. And if a God calls a woman to a pulpit ministry, she needs to minister from that pulpit as a woman, as a lady, in her dress, in her voice inflections, in her mannerisms. The things that I really rubber meets the road when it comes right down to dealing with opposition, I try to, first of all, don't take it personally. And it's really hard, because you do tend to do that. But for the most part, the issue, it's not about me. It's not about another woman personally. It's about someone else's understanding. It's about their belief system. And then number two, be gracious. You are never going to win anybody over on this subject by being ugly about it, by being forceful about it, by
That's
putting your
right.
hand on your hip and pointing your finger and shaking your head. You got to understand that the people who are more than likely arguing about this, they believe in the Bible and they believe that they have a correct biblical understanding. And so if they're a born again believer and I'm a born again believer, I've got to treat them as my brother and sister. And I just chalk it up to misunderstanding. We don't understand the scriptures the same, even though our hearts are passionate for the things of God. And I try to approach it like Abraham Lincoln. What did he say? He said, with malice toward none, with charity for all.
That's
I
right.
think that's a good concept. And you do have to realize, though, nobody's accepted everywhere. This is not always a gender issue. When somebody rejects you, there are lots of male ministers
That
who
is
also
right.
are not accepted everywhere. And Jesus gave advice to his followers. He said, if you're not received somewhere, just shake the dust off your feet and move forward. And it can be tempting when you get rejected to want to go crawl under a rock or crawl in a cave. Elijah felt that way, and he was a powerful prophet. But if you're called, you know it, and you just have to let go and move on.
Yeah, that is a really good concept about being gracious and, being meek and humble. And I think nothing can defeat a humble person. And if you are called, God will anoint you and God will open doors for you. And because I know in our day, especially in this generation, there is a lot of activism and a lot of people who are really, trying to, not that we want to silence them, but how do you feel about those people who push and post something and create some debates and issues about this gender and ministry?
I always, first of all, I'm careful about what to engage in. I'm more careful now than I used to be. It's just not worth the fight. Like I said, if you're called, God's going to open doors for you. His anointing upon you will make the way, and I don't have to engage in every conversation.
Thank you. What are some specific actions that women that feel called to preach can do if they are in an environment where there is no one available to mentor them, or again, their pastor doesn't believe that women should preach? What should be like the practical steps that they should do?
Well, first of all, I'm thankful that my pastor has been supportive, but I've talked to a lot of people who are in different situations. And really, I would advise somebody in this situation pretty much the same way I would advise anyone with a desire to minister. And that is, ministry is serving. It doesn't need a title. And wherever you see a need, as the Lord directs you, or even where your pastor or spiritual leadership asks you to serve, serve. Because just because you have a call doesn't mean you're qualified in that moment. There is a development that needs to happen. And you might not take the pulpit for 10 years, but you take that time and you develop yourself. You serve in your Sunday school class. Participate in women's Bible studies. Raise your hands and participate in group conversations so people can see that you have something worthwhile to contribute or teach a home Bible study. What pastor is going to tell you, don't go do prison ministry?
That's
Don't
right.
you go and do that nursing home ministry. No, get out there and walk through whatever open door you have and just start serving and be faithful and have a great attitude and grow and develop through your personal devotion and through your study. Sum it all up, you got to serve, study, pray, and prepare. And I believe firmly in smiling and see what God will do. Because when he'll open the door. And when he opens the door, no matter how small it is, you've got to walk through it and not despise the day of the small things, or you will never get to bigger things. God's going to direct your steps. He orders our steps. And when you're invited to minister, it doesn't matter how big or how small it is. Treat every opportunity like you are taking the pulpit at General Conference.
That is
You
right.
better pray up. You better be prepared. And you give every gathering your very best. And I believe that as people continue to serve with the right spirit, they're going to build up a memorial so big that their spiritual leadership, even if they weren't in agreement at first, they just can't ignore it. It's like God and Cornelius. He built up that memorial of prayers and good deeds, and it was stacked so high that one day it just tipped over or maxed out some high, and God moved. And I believe that God is the one that's going to bring the great breakthrough. We don't want to try to break through on our own. We just have to worship the Lord and give Him our best, serve others out of a pure love, and then when Jesus opens the way, walk through it.
Thank you for that advice. The next one here is about an advice too, but to a specific group of people. What advice would you give to a lady who feels a call of God in his life to be a minister or to be a preacher, a pulpit ministry, and she is married to or engaged to a minister or a pastor?
I would say, first of all, that's great. I mean, if her husband is supportive and he's a minister, that's awesome. She should actually have somewhat of an easier track than I did. But first of all, don't forget that you've got to prepare yourself, and some things really aren't gender issues. You need to prepare yourself by reading books that will help you develop in your personal walk with God, take classes, train as much as you can. But when you're married to a minister, I mean, you should have, hopefully, more opportunity or even an easier path than I did, because you don't hold a ministerial credential, perhaps, but you have an implied credibility because you are serving in ministry. But what would you do first? I would pray and then pray and then pray, because you do not want to jump into anything. This is not an easy path. The road to the pulpit is a very rough road. Each time you walk up there, if you're going to be delivering a word, you're going to be living through crisis. You're going to be dealing with hard lessons of life, and it's really not glamorous. And most of what you see is not what is up there at the pulpit. It's really a life of service and study and prayer and devotion. And so if your heart says to do anything else, do that. Don't just jump into ministry. But if you have that confirmation in your spirit, talk to your husband, because you need to be in agreement before you can move forward. And if your husband is your pastor, well, that's all the better. If he's not, you need to talk to your spiritual leadership, and hopefully that they will open doors for you the same way they would open them up for a man. If your pastor doesn't give newbie guys a full service, and but he gives them a 5 minute on a Sunday night, bring the fire, whatever, you would hopefully have the same opportunity, and don't feel snubbed if you don't get a full Sunday session, you know, without developing yourself and proving yourself. But more than anything, I really I got to encourage you that more important than any message you could prepare, you have to prepare the messenger. You have got to keep connected with God. People need God. They don't want to hear from me. They want to hear from God. We have to have a flow of the Holy Ghost in our lives. If the Lord is calling you to minister, that means He's chosen you and appointed you not just to preach some words, but to heal the brokenhearted.
That's right.
To preach deliverance to people that are captive and bound, and to help people see that aren't seeing right, and to set people at liberty that have been bruised in this world.
Thank you. How about those women who are pastoring a church and they have a husband? What is, like, where's the balance in that kind of case or scenario? I know that women should be, should be submitting to each other.
Right.
In this case, the woman is the pastor of the church, and the husband is part of the church.
Well, I can see how people might consider this to be delicate. And just, honestly, marriage can be delicate sometimes, no matter how wonderful the relationships are. But when we consider that there are different governments in the world, and there is a home government, and there is a church government, and there's a civil government, like in the world out there, a lady could arrest a man, a lady could send a guy to death row, and that issue has nothing to do with gender. And in the church, as a woman is serving in a God-appointed position, she has the authority to serve in that position as a servant and as a minister. And in the home, it's a different dynamic. And I really believe that God, in the beginning, He created Eve out of the substance that He pulled out of Adam, and that He created her to be alongside her, and He gave her a co-mission to be fruitful and multiply and have dominion over all the earth. He gave that to them together. And so I believe that she was created to be His partner. And we know that things happened at the fall, but what happened at the cross? God went to Calvary to restore relationship. And so in the
That's
home,
right.
yes, we need to have, so I believe in my husband is the head of our home, but we also treat each other with respect. I have strengths and he has strengths, and I have weaknesses and he has weaknesses. And in reality, the places that we have conflict are the places we need each other the most. We serve when we prefer one another in love. We consider and talk and discuss what's best for our home. And hopefully, if we're both filled with the Holy Ghost and being governed by the peace of God and ruled and governed by the Word of God, we'll be mostly in agreement on life's major decisions. And if there's an issue, I'm going to say, well, honey, it's your decision. In the church, if I'm in a position of authority over a spiritual matter for the church at large, that's a different situation. But I don't pastor, I evangelize. So I don't have to do, I pass the buck. Here you go, pastor.
Yeah, there you
That's
go.
awesome.
What other books do you recommend for girls or for women that feel called to preach or minister?
Well, I do think that there are great books for women. I do have the Preach Like a Lady out there that's designed to be a handbook. I know there are other books. Sister Gwen Oakes had written a book on ministry, I think, called From the Front Row or The Front Row. But I just want to say this, and I think that sometimes we make too big a deal out of the gender issue in preparing for ministry and in resources. I know that there are some specifics that need to be addressed because there are nuances, but preaching is preaching and
That's
teaching
right.
is teaching. And we need to learn from the best regardless of their gender. So read the classics and read the books that will help you develop in your walk with God. Read books on spiritual disciplines. And I would say pull up that list of required reading materials for your licensing. If that's what's required reading for licensing, then read that. If there's a Purpose Institute or some type of a campus that you can take classes, if you can audit a class online, you don't even have to register. You can audit a class and just glean from all the benefit of it. I know that I've taken classes at Urshan and biblical interpretation class with David Norris. It rocked my world. And we have the opportunity to learn and grow in so many avenues.
And we're really thankful for all the resources, and I believe that there will be more resources for both men and women, regardless of gender. And it's just really awesome that we have a growing number of resources, especially the United Pentecostal Church. So thank you
Amen.
so much, Sister Wagner, for your time, for all the insights. This has been a wonderful interview. And to close this interview, I would just like to ask you to pray for our listeners right now. And could you please do that for us?
I sure will. Lord, I love you so much. And God, I'm asking you today for your blessing upon every listener. God, I especially ask for those that are feeling that call to ministry, if they're male or female, but especially for the ladies that are listening today. God, I pray that you would help us to be bold and courageous, to be confident, but at the same time to have that right spirit, that spirit of a servant, because all we do is for you and for your kingdom. We don't have a kingdom to build. It's your kingdom, oh God, and I'm asking you to help us, male or female. Help us remember, oh God, that this is all about you. It's all about loving you and serving people, bringing glory to you and expansion to the kingdom of God. I pray your blessing upon each listener. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Sister Wagner, for your time.
Oh, you're so welcome. God bless you.
God bless you.